Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi, this is Natalie Jean. It's Natalie Jean. Yes, it's Chatting with Nat. And today, we have grunge power duo Tara Hu. Tara Hu is a power duo in every sense of the phrase, bonded together by telepathic musical interplay and profound interpersonal connections. The ladies of Tara Hu are fascinating. Flashback to 90s rock with anthemic sing-along choruses and a raw, grungy edge. They aren't afraid to do their own thing with their unique brand of intense, engaging rock. Previously, Tara Hu has released two full-lengths, two EPs, and one single of raw, punky rock and roll. The band's output has garnered plaudits and earned feature story coverage from GIG, Radar, Kill the Music, La Grosse Radio, Loud Stuff, Mocheville, Music Connection, Muzak, and The Ringmaster, among other outlets. Let's give them a round of applause. Hi, how are you? Can you hear me? So we'll wait to see if things are working on their end, because I don't hear anything. So while we wait for Tara Hu to get on, because I don't hear a thing. Oh, let's try this one. Hello?
Hello.
Okay. I can hear Coralie. I can't hear Tara. How are you this evening?
I'm good, and you?
I'm still alive, living in a pandemic.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy times, crazy times.
Yeah.
It's 11 p.m. on this side.
Oh, my God.
So how have you guys been since the last time we spoke?
Pretty good. Pretty good, actually. We are excited about the release of our new video coming, I think, next week, actually. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
So, yeah, and we have the new album coming at the end of the month, I think the 24th, too.
Cool. So lots of things happening.
Yeah.
So, now, during this time, I know I asked you this on IG Live, but for those of the people that didn't get this to the IG Live, did you do, well, your type of music, I think I remember saying that you don't do live streaming because of the type of music that you do, because it's loud.
Exactly, yeah.
But it would be interesting. You should just try it once to see, and you might break some windows, but you should try it once just to see how it would be. I would love to see it live stream.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're trying to... Hopefully we can do that, you know, at one point.
Alrighty, that would be awesome. Now, I know I asked this also in IG Live, but, you know, during this pandemic, did you guys think about, you know, your artistry? Did you think about things that you want to change with your band? Or did you think about things that you might want to improve? Or do you like the way things are going? You know, what the future holds for Tara Hu?
So we actually focused on having on building a fan base, you know?
Right.
And because, of course, because of the pandemic, we couldn't really play shows anyway.
Right.
So we're like, okay, well, we're going to try to have more social media presence, you know, and try to put more things out there. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about social media. What people don't seem to understand is, like, when you're in the music business, you have to be on every damn site. Yeah, Snapchat.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Instagram, Facebook. I mean, you name it, Clubhouse. You got to be on it because the whole thing is that we need to be seen and we need to be heard. And the whole thing is that we have to, you know, post all the time. TikTok was talking about you need to post 5 videos a day. I don't know who really has time for that, but, you know, they want us to do all this stuff. So how do you manage being on all of these social media sites?
Yeah, it's like, I think it's something that we are not used to it.
Mm.
You know, because like you said, there is so many things that you need to do every day.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you have to work on other stuff and everything. So, and it can get like overwhelming with all of this stuff. So, we're trying to do our best with that. We try to kind of like share the social media,
right,
to use it, and so it's a little bit easier, let's say, but yeah, we're trying what we can to kind of keep posting almost every day, you know, be there and everything.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, even when I wake up, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to post today, because you have to come up with stuff. So I started by posting like these inspirational quotes every day. I was like, okay, at least I'm posting something every day. And sometimes I post stuff in regards to my music. It's kind of hard sometimes because I'm like, I sing for other people, like I sing their songs and all that stuff. So then I got to post their stuff. And I love to be able to help other people promote as well. So if anyone wants to get into this music game, they have to know that it's a lot of work. It's like 24/7. You are the investment in
yeah,
and you have to do best to get out there. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's not just like oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna play my songs and that would work.
Yeah, I know.
Oh no, the musician today has to wear so many hats. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
hi everyone. Sorry. Technical difficulties. I'm here.
So do you guys have a manager? So what are you looking for within your music? Are you looking for management, a booking agent, a label?
I've been managing Terahu for since the day that I started. And it's at the point where I would love to have a manager and like a team, just because the time that we spend like not playing our instruments, but just making sure that we're being seen.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And as much as social media is great and helpful because we are able to post our things out there for free, like, and the world can access it.
Right.
It, that's great, but anyone can do that. So, you know, sometimes you can, you know, be in, like, you can have, like, other people who do less, you know, and maybe it's not even their dream that, you know, but they're posting something and then they go viral and they get all the stuff, you know, and it's like, wait. So, you know, I mean, good for them. It's just kind of crazy, you know, like when you take this very seriously and you put every single thing, you know, from money to energy to creativity and you're not being heard, you know, it's a little bit stressful sometimes, you know.
Yeah. It's disconcerting, really. But I agree with you. It's interesting how somebody can do something stupid or silly, and then they'll get like 5 million views while you're here out struggling and doing real things. And people are just like, oh, okay, no, I'd rather see somebody break their head or climb up some crate, break their ribs trying to do that, because that's more entertaining. to me.
I know we were in England like recently, and as a joke, actually, we started, and we actually don't do that usually, but as a joke, we started posting our COVID tests because we had to do so many COVID tests at home,
right?
That we just started posting them, and we got so many likes and comments and views just by doing that. And we're like, wait a minute. So we promote our music and we don't get anything, and then we post about COVID, you know, and then we get all those, like, you know, reactions. And then it got me thinking, actually. And then I was like, well, yeah, when you go on social media, you know, you don't miss, like, we are a brand, like musicians are
right.
brands, right? And what do you do when you see an ad? You skip it. You don't watch it.
Exactly.
So what we do actually, when we just post music and then our releases, we're actually just posting ads constantly.
Yeah,
but
that's
people
true.
Really just want to be entertained, you know, when they open after their long day of work or whatever, and they open their Instagram, like, they don't want to, you know, like, want to see, like, buy this, like, hey, listen to this, like, being told what to
right.
do, you know. They just want to laugh, I think. And then
that's
and then suddenly it made sense. And then we were like, well, let's just post more of that stupid stuff. And then we got a bunch of new followers, and we're like, well, that's weird. But okay, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that you could do that, but what you could do is, like, you could still post stuff like that, but have your music in the background, like, play off the music, and they're going to be like, oh, what's that sound? Oh, I need to hear it, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hate the whole, well, I have to do a gimmicky thing for somebody to listen to my music. I agree with your thoughts, though, that, you know, people just want to look at silly things, and I can agree with you that, you know, there's sometimes... I'll sit and I have a million things to do, but I get on my Instagram and start looking at the videos. It's an hour later, and I'm like, what was, why was I sitting here watching videos of cats? And I like stuff, but, you know, you're right. It's like people want to gravitate towards something where they don't have to think, or they're not asking,
you
know, the artist is asking them to listen or like, or this and the other. So you do have a great point. Now, how did you, obviously your name is Tara, but how did you decide to call it your band Tara Who?
Well, there's a long version and a short version. the short version is, you know, I'm going to try to do the long, short version. So basically, Tara is not my birth name. I had to come up with an artist name for several reasons, one being, like, I was getting people were, because I have an uncommon name for fans, people could find me easily, especially at the time when Google Earth started. And I had a couple times, like, incidents where people just showed up at my place, and that was just weird. And I really wanted to separate also the music, what I do, and my personal life. So that kept a little bit of a distance. And also at the time, there was an artist, a French rapper, who was also half Vietnamese, who has the same name but never showed her face, who came out, and she was pretty big. So when I started booking shows, people would either book us thinking that I was her, but then we would play punk rock and she was French rap, or they didn't book us because they were like, well, why does this French rapper want to play in that really dirty punk rock underground venue, you know? because of all of this, I was like, okay, let me think of an artist name. And Tara is, I'm into Buddhism and all that, and Tara is actually a goddess. And they have different colors, and the green Tara is the Tara, the goddess of compassion. And I thought that it was good with all the songs that I write, because I care about people and what's going on around me. I came up with Tara, and then when I wrote my email to my bandmates at the time, I explained why I was changing names and I was asking them to now call me Tara in front of people and stuff like that. And the subject of that email was Tara Who? And then I came up with band name, and I'm really bad at this. And they were like, well, how about we just go by Tara Who? And then initially it was like, we had 5 gigs maybe. And I was like, okay, let's just use Tara Who for those 5 gigs and then we'll change. But that was, you know, 2006. So it's a little late now.
Oh,
we
wow.
just kept getting more and more gigs and now it's just too late to change.
Wow. That's a great story though. That's a great story. So, but what was it about the music industry that both of you were like, oh my gosh, this is who I am. I need to get into it. And why grunge?
Do you want to go, Coco, or?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Me, it's mostly, I think when I was in high school. Yeah, high school that I thought that, oh, actually, I think I can play drums for a living, you know, and try and start a career in the music, you know. I don't know really what pushed me in there, I have to say. But I was like, I was playing it for fun first, you know. And after like 8 years of playing it for fun, I took it more seriously and I was like, okay, I think I can do it. I think that was for me high school. And I'm listening more classic rock, heavy metal, all of that. So I think grunge, I don't really know a lot about it, but I just go with the flow for Tara Who for sure.
Yeah. For me, well, actually, I don't really put music industry and being a musician in the same box.
Okay.
I wanted to play the drums. I started as a drummer, sorry. So I started as a drummer, then I picked up the bass, and then I was playing drums and bass in different bands. And then later, when I have more things to say, it was just a feeling I needed to write. And actually, it was my teacher, my English teacher in Kentucky when I was an exchange student who taught me how to keep a journal. I had never had a diary or journal or whatever. And because I was learning English, he said the best way to feel fluent in English is to write every day, just write. And I got used to that. And then all of those thoughts and feelings and emotions that I kept inside of me for like so many years, right? Especially when you're 15, you know, you have so much going on in your head. You know, I was just putting them in that book. And that's when I was starting writing songs. Oh, okay, this could be a song. So to me, it's more being an artist than being a musician. I was attracted to that. The music industry to me is the music business part of it that comes when you're independent, because you don't have a choice. If that's what you want to do I wouldn't say for a living, because we don't make money off of it. It's just a passion that we just keep doing, you know?
We
have to learn.
Right. Yeah,
you know?
We're not making money.
So, you know, like, it's like, well, you learn, you know, like over the years, you're like, okay, well, I want to book a show. That's the first people want to do. I mean, I think, you know, some people just prefer to record, but, you know, like, if, you know, we like to do both. We like to record and perform. So, you know, then it was like, okay, well, we came up with a new song. We want people to listen to it. So, you know, you learn all those things, how to promote, how to book a show, how to tour, how to do all of those things. And then you become the manager. And then
right.
you become the booker, And then you become all of those jobs in the music industry that people have in a label. And that to me is never something that I wanted to do. It's just something that I have to do if I want to keep sustaining the life of Terahu, not the living.
No, everything you said is 100% correct. 100%. We're not making any money. Well, the thing is, if you're doing this music business thing, you have to realize, it takes a lot of work and a lot of years to get to the point where you're going to make some serious dough. A streaming service with half a cent, this, that, and the other. I mean, you can make money if you're touring and you're selling merch, or you're getting your songs into sync, licensing, film, television, commercials, and stuff like that. There is a way to do it, but you still have to spend the money to record the music so that you can send to the sync and licensing. So a lot of us get ourselves in debt to put this out there, but at the same time, we're loving everything that we're doing. We just love it. It's a passion of ours, and we continue to do it because it makes us very, very happy. I know that's right, because every day I'm like, okay, do you really want to do this? And I'm like, I kind of, it makes me happy. Now, I'm going to play your Manners. Tell me what that's about.
Okay. Manners is about, the song, I started writing this song really because it was about my mom. My mom was abandoned when she was a child. Her dad was a German soldier, and her mom French, and she was born during the war, 1943.
Okay.
So that's why she could not keep her, and she was raised by a nun. And so my mom has a very great education. She's very polite and all that. But as I reflect and I get older, I see certain things, and then I realize, you have all those great manners, but when it comes to like affection, like you're missing some things. I'm not criticizing; it's just an observation.
Right.
But also at this time that I was writing Manners, unfortunately, George Floyd happened, and all those, we know what happened, and
right.
I was basically thinking, gosh, like, you don't need a book. Like, now I'm just saying the words of the song, but you don't need a book to tell you to love someone, because I was also raised Catholic. I went to Catholic schools and stuff like that. And I remember like going over like Bible studies, and I'm not judging religious. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that no one is born racist. No one is.
No.
But
no.
People are being taught racism. It's the
right.
education that makes you see colors. And the thing is, actually, like, I know there's racism everywhere in the world. I've experienced it in different ways. But I will never understand the racism in France I'm not a black person living in France, so I can't really speak for that. But like, all like the stories that you read, like this woman who committed suicide in jail because she didn't put a blinker when she turned left and she went to jail. Come on. It's like all of those stories that are just too much. And then what you saw, like on the news and the hatred, know, and it's like, come on, it's people. Don't show your book, whatever religion you believe in, your faith, if you're going to treat people like that. That doesn't make any sense to me, that's what Manners is about.
All right. Quiet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Audio Jungle.
Fantastic. So how do you go about writing a song? Tell me the process, and if you guys ever like, oh my God, I can't write anymore, we need to walk away from the song for a little bit. How do you deal when your brain just like shuts down? Because then it shuts, mine shuts down. Or if that doesn't happen to you, you guys are lucky.
the process is I usually write. Actually, I was working on a song right before this call, but so the process is I write the song, usually guitar. I probably have already vocals. Sometimes it comes at the same time. Then I put the drums and the bass, and then I send this to Coco. If there's any part that I cannot play on the drums, then I tell her, like, okay, this part, you know, is more like this, or, you know, you come up with that or whatever. And then we do that for all the songs, and then we send those to Jason, our producer, and then we go to the studio, and then we record. And then writer's block, not really. Gosh, where's wood? Because knock knock knock, drumsticks, thank you. Because we don't have the pressure of the label, and so basically I just write when I want to, and if there's an idea or something that I don't remember, it's usually a sign that it wasn't good enough in my opinion, and then just move on. But yeah, I've been pretty well, I don't want to say those words, but basically I don't have that experience yet. Or I haven't had this experience for writer's block.
What do you guys love about being artists?
Coco, go ahead. I'm thinking.
I think being able to, well, play and do what you love, you know, be able to play and listen to music that you want to, and which is mostly, I'll say, freedom, you know, to do what you love. And no matter what people think, you do your own thing, especially like Tara said, being independent, you know, you can really do what you want, which can be tricky because you have to do everything, you know, but at least you're doing what you want without people telling you what to do, you know.
That's very true. Very true. How important is it for you guys to be authentic with your music, that you're just real, you know, what you see is what you get?
Oh, it's very important. It's the base. It's the base of Sarah Hu, because it's kind of like one of our goals, actually. If we're able to make it being independent and being ourselves, we're going to be able to prove to the music industry that we don't have to play parts and look in a certain way in order to make it.
Right.
So it's kind of like it's a big risk, I guess, that we might be taking, that maybe some people think like that, but being ourselves is very important. Otherwise, I mean, Coco would not be staying in the band if I was asking her to wear a skirt behind the drums and makeup, you know? So I care about her, you know, like I want her to feel good and be able to play. And play with her heart, not play the parts because she has to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to like being an artist, I mean, I think to me, like, what I like about being an artist is the fact that I'm able to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can touch people and they can relate, that's even better. That, because to me, then we're helping each other out. I think a lot of people are keeping emotions to themselves, or I don't know, I feel like sometimes people are just stuck in either a routine or like in relationships that they don't want to, and they wish that they had a different life. And I think that's too bad. I think that when you're an artist, whether you're a painter or a writer or a musician or whatever, you even a cook, if you have that passion and you're able to you have the guts to live your passion, you're really living your life the fullest, because you're yourself and you're expressing yourself and you're letting go of all of those feelings constantly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely makes sense.
And I think that's what I love about being an artist is having that freedom to do that.
Now, we're going to play Bad Time. Tell me what that's about.
It's easier to send emails about that song than actually talking about it. This is about a past experience, unfortunate experience that I had as a kid, and unfortunately other women or kids, sexual harassment. So it was a bad time. It's called Bad Time because there's never a good time to talk about those things.
Right.
And I guess for the first time I was daring to talk about it, because I've just kept it until now to myself. But I feel like it's difficult to talk about those things, because you don't know how people are going to, you know, it's like coming out. You don't know how people are going to take it. You know,
right.
Are they going to take you for a liar? Why didn't you say this before? Or, you know, it's like, it's interesting, because it's like you're the victim, but you're the one who has all those thoughts and guilt about talking about what happened to you, and concerns about how is it going to affect the person, the people who did that to you, you know?
Right.
So that's what that time is about.
All right, let's play it.
Should I
I have to have that applause button because my two little hands are not going to do the justice. Everything that I hear, I always wanted an applause button, and I got it. Damn it! I love that song. How important is it to you, for you guys to, you know, sing songs about, you know, social message impact songs, you know, songs that people can relate to, songs that people can say, my God, this person gets me.
It's not my main objective, but I realized over time that we actually kind of, I like to believe that we actually kind of like, go at one point in our lives, go through the same things. And then, at, you know, maybe in a few years, someone can listen to one of our songs and say like, ah, I get it. I feel you, you know, because there's no time on music, you know, once it's released, you know. And that's exactly how I felt when I was, you know, 14 listening to Alanis Morissette. And sometimes I would just listen and I like the melodies. And then like a couple years later, I'm saying, you know, listening to the exact same song, and I'm like, I feel you, girl, you know? So,
no, I get it. I keep telling people that, you know, listeners are gravitating towards more authentic people, people that they can relate to rather than the whole, you know, pop mainstream songs are great, but people want to believe that you look like like Taylor Swift, you know, some people can't even imagine living the life that she leads or even, I mean, she writes some good lyrics about stuff that she's gone through and people can relate to some of that stuff. But I think with independent artists, people can relate more because they feel like they're more like real and actually touch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
for sure.
I think it's great that you guys, you know, have a mixture of different types of songs. Now, what is the one thing you wish you had known before you got into the music industry?
That it does not come that easily. Everything takes time. Because, you know, when I was like 21 and, you know, you meet a lot of people titles, you know, producers and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, maybe this is it, you know, maybe that's it, you know, and it's not, and later you realize, oh my gosh, like I thought I was ready for this, but I was not. I'm so glad it didn't happen, you know, and you know, some people get famous really quickly, and it's good for them, but I don't know if it will last because, you know, you have to have some experience. You have to know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't need the tour bus, you know, like if you're actually smart, you're not going to opt for the tour bus because that money is yours, you know? So, you know, it's like all those things, like so many stories from, you know, friends, bands and stuff like that, that thought they were making it because they were signed to a label and going on tour in a tour bus, but then turns out they come back from tour and they're like in debt, like $20,000 over $20,000, right? You know, and that's the truth, but no one talks about it for some reason. When you're independent, you pay everything out of your pocket and up front, so you do have some debt. You know, it's hard, but it's not something that you owe to anyone but yourself.
Right.
And it's all decisions that you've made yourself.
That's right. It's the sacrifices that we make for this music is incredible, but we do it because we love it. And we do it because we can make a difference. And we were born to do it. That's the bottom line. We have a gift and we need to bring it out there. And I'm so glad that you guys are sharing your talents out there in the world. Thank you so much for being on Chatting with Nat. I really appreciate it. You know, we took forever to try to decide which neighbor we're going to be.
Thank you.
You know, I'm going to be following everything that you do. And hopefully one day I can get a backstage pass to one of your concerts.
You will.
And get up there, like a groupie. guys are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for having
us.
It was an honor to have you. So everybody, this was Chatting With Nat with Grunge Power Doer Tara Hu. And if you want to find them, it's www.tarahu.com. I love them. You'll love them. Listen to them. Follow them. Don't stalk them, but listen to their music because they're awe-inspiring women. Until next time on Chatting With Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.